And we're going to bring in Audrey Anderson. I figured, you know, we've talked to Audrey Anderson about 10 times on this show this year. What's one more? Audrey, criminal defense attorney, thanks for hopping on with us today. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, always. Anderson Attorneys and Advisors, AndersonAA.com is where you can find her and all the great stuff they do there. First of all, before we get to the case at hand, Audrey, I wanted to ask, how do you ring in the new year? Are you up at midnight?
I am up at midnight. And yes, it's just low-key watching the ball drop in New York and the fireworks everywhere.
Do you bang pots and pans or anything superstitious that you do that has been passed down in your family?
No, we don't, but it made me laugh that you do that. Neighbors had did that growing up.
Yeah, it's always fun. I don't know if the neighbors would be too happy if I did it outside my balcony. They have a one-year-old just in the balcony below me, so I think I will avoid doing that this year. We brought you on to talk about this. It's a real sad case all the way around. The Colorado governor, Jared Polis, is commuting the sentence of a truck driver who was sentenced to 110 years in prison for an interstate wreck that killed four people. It was a very tragic situation, and the governor, you know, hearing the outcries from so many people, said, I have to step in. The judge, in fact, in his own sentencing, said that their hands were tied in this sort of situation, which really brought up a national discussion about mandatory minimums and tying judges' hands. And I just thought, Audrey, we could start broadly for people. How often is it, how rare is it, how frequent is it for judges' hands to be tied during sentencing? Is that a very common thing across criminal trials?
It is a very common thing, not just with consecutive sentencing, but also mandatory minimums. So yes, on the state level as well as the federal level.
Let's break down what you said there, because that was what the judge was dealing with about. He wanted to, or the judge wanted to give the sentences concurrently, meaning, all right, you were responsible, at least in part, for the death of these four people, and there is some responsibility there. If he had ordered them to serve them concurrently, that means that the sentence would have been, you know, all four of them going on at the same time versus all in a row. But the judge was bound by law to put them all in a row, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. How is that common? Is that in Illinois? Is that the case? Or does it depend on what the law is that the person broke? I mean, is that do you hear that a lot?
We do, yes. We face it probably every day in court. There's mandatory consecutive sentencing, especially in sex cases, or different types of first-degree murders, and then other forcible felonies or serious felonies, where the sentences must be consecutive, run one after the other. But whether or not that's what they get sentenced to, that's something different.
Okay. Is that the legislative branch has ruled that? Is it an outcry from legislatures to, you know, oh, the judges had made bad decisions in the past, so we want to make sure that they are required to do so in the future?
Correct. Right. So it's all by legislature. So the mandatory minimums, like if you get sentenced on a Class X, it's 6 years or consecutive. It's all by the legislature and what they've written.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, the legislative branch is, of course, made up of politicians we elect every 2, 4, 6 years, depending on which elections you're talking about. Judges, I feel like, and maybe a lot of people would agree, maybe disagree, you know, the judges rule the judicial branch. It's supposed to be kind of this separate area. I don't know. It's an interesting check that the legislative branch has on the judicial branch in this instance.
That's very true. And you can understand why they do it for extremely heinous, horrible crimes. You don't want some person to walk away after 5 years, so it's understandable. But in this situation in Colorado, that's not necessarily what the statute was intended for. Or this person that he was only, I think, 23 when this happened back in 2019.
So the concurrently versus consecutive thing is one aspect, but so is mandatory minimums. We often hear about mandatory minimums. Usually, at least what I hear about them more is the debates about drug charges, but they're really peppered into the law in all sorts of different cases, right?
Right, and it is most common in drug cases, especially when you're dealing with kilos of drugs or different serious amounts. But yes, there are mandatory minimums depending on your prior convictions or what you're currently charged with.
Is that legislatures who were really fighting the war on crime and trying to appear tough to their constituents, making judges required to sentence these people to certain time frames?
Definitely. That's why I think so, too, because we've discussed this among different lawyers. And years ago, it was be tough on crime. You sentence offenders to the maximum amount of time. But I think the law and the focus of the legislature is shifting now So as opposed to it being punitive, is to be more rehabilitative, to help people and understand why they commit these offenses and give them services as opposed to just warehouse them in metal boxes for decades.
You spent time before a criminal defense attorney as an assistant state's attorney, if I'm not mistaken, in DuPage County. Have you ever, in either your time on the prosecution side or the defense side, been in a courtroom where a judge says something along the lines of, hey, this is not what I would have done, but this is what I'm required to do?
Correct. Yes. Unfortunately, that has happened.
Is the only recourse what we saw, what happened in Colorado, where a governor commutes the sentence or lessens the sentence?
Right. There really is the only recourse, because you can't, if the judge is required to do it, there's nothing that the judge can do or an appellate court can do. The only other option is if the prosecutors didn't proceed on all the counts to make it as long a sentence. But that's the only option, is the governor commuting or not having him or her be found guilty of everything.
As a defense attorney, I mean, what do you, I mean, that must drive you crazy, some of these things.
It does. It does. It's just frustrating, because sometimes you just have good people that make mistakes, and then they're sentenced to such a serious amount of time, and you understand why, but you do feel bad for them, because one accident, literally in this guy's case, it was an accident or a series of bad decisions. It had serious consequences for the lives of all the family members he's destroyed, and obviously his own life too.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm way off here, and I'm sure there's cases where I would appreciate these mandatory sentences or consecutive versus concurrent things. But wasn't the whole point to give judges the ability to have sympathy, to have empathy, to find the nuance in the cases when they determine sentencing so as not to deliver too harsh or too lenient a sentence? I mean, that's how our judicial system was designed, right?
Right. I agree with that. But I can see the flip side also is that judges have a difference in perhaps how they're sentencing. So they want some sort of uniformity. So if you don't get Judge A, but you get Judge B, you will still get the similar sentence.
Interesting.
So there, one judge may be lighter or less serious, sorry, than the other one.
No, that's interesting. So there is a case where it's like it does protect, you know, maybe against racial biases or class biases or something like that, where, hey, we've set some guidelines so that in any way, in some cases, it actually helps defendants to make sure that they are sentenced in a more fair and uniform way.
Correct.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that. And also, I know that, boy, even just last month, I believe, when what happened in Waukesha, Wisconsin, how there's been so much made of the bonds that some people are able to get out on. And heck, we have that conversation all the time in Cook County. I know that's a different area than, you know, the sentencing of a criminal versus the bond set. But that is another area where we see a lot of times people say there should be minimums for this. And there probably are. And let's not give judges too much wiggle room in that area. Am I correct in that?
Yes, that's very true. And I know that the legislature has been amending the bond statutes with regards to whether or not it's going to be where you're required to have a person post money to actually get out. Because you are correct, those that maybe have more access to funds or friends that have access to funds, they get out, whereas lower income families may not have the ability to get a quick loan or go to friends and family for cash to get out.
Yeah. The clemency letter from the governor wrote, the length of your 110-year sentence is simply not commensurate with your actions, nor with penalties handed down to others for similar crimes, and commuted in the, a lot of applause on all sides of the aisle for the governor still obviously imposing a 10-year sentence. There needed to be some justice done there, but for being a little bit more lenient. Although I will just say there are probably so many folks behind bars, shouldn't just label them so broadly speaking, but there are people behind bars that maybe there hasn't been a social media outcry. Maybe there hasn't been the public pressure put on governors that are sitting there behind bars still because of mandatory minimums who could use a little help from people, I imagine, right?
Yes, that's so true. This obviously got a lot of publicity just because the nature of the offense, how many vehicles were involved. I mean, just watching video of the accident is horrific. So it's drawn to the national spotlight. But you're right, there's so many other offenders who are behind bars that their stories aren't really told, besides the local impact that they've had.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Audrey Anderson, thanks for breaking it down for us. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Anytime.
AndersonAA.com is where you can chat with her and her team, Anderson Attorneys and Advisors. All right, Happy New Year, Audrey. Thank you so much.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thank you.
For sure.